Good morning. Bring you greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here. Enjoyed the devotions this morning on our thoughts. Enjoyed the Sunday school discussion and also a devotion on Manasseh. If a book were written about us, about me, what would it say? Challenge to me. I felt God leading me to speak on charity, on love this morning. First, because I need it myself. I have room to grow. I need to love just as much as anyone. Secondly, this message is for you. As an individual member of the church, part of the body of Christ, we have to love. We have to apply it personally. It's the only way it will work. Can't look around and think about how someone else should love, how someone else should apply it to their lives, but we need to look at it ourselves. And thirdly, because charity is the way that God wants us to live. It's a biblical command for the Christian. The title that I would give the message is Charity, the More Excellent Way. You can turn to 1 Corinthians 12. You may think I gave the wrong passage. Think of 1 Corinthians 13 as the love chapter. I'd like to start at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. We will be looking at chapter 13 for most of the message, but the title comes from verse 31, chapter 12. It says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Now, the church of Corinth here was in quite a bit of turmoil, quite a bit of problems. There were divisions among them. Some said, "I am of Paul." Others said, "I'm of Apollos." There was partiality there. If you read back through the chapter, there was confusion about what was sin, what wasn't. There was questions about meat sacrificed to idols. And Paul gives pointed and practical direction to those issues. Now, it wasn't all bad things that they were arguing about. One of the things here in chapter 12 that they were arguing about was spiritual gifts. Some felt that their gift was more important than others. It says one place, "I have no need of you." And others maybe felt like they were less honorable. They weren't needed or necessary. And it's interesting to read through these chapters and see what all they were facing. Then we get to verse 31, and Paul tells us that while we are to desire spiritual gifts, that is not the most important thing. And he was going to show them a more excellent way. And then he lays out chapter 13, the way of charity. It's a beautiful passage. We call it the love chapter sometimes. And most often we tend to pick out this chapter as, pick it out by itself. And think of it maybe relating it to weddings, relating it to love and marriage. And yes, it can be applied that way, but I wanted to give it in the context and the background of what Paul wrote it for. He was addressing problems that had come up in the church and was showing them a better way, the way of love, God's love, charity. This chapter is still for us today. In our difficulties and our struggles that we face, times of confusion, times of turmoil, differing opinions, maybe personality clashes, distrust in brotherhood relationships, hurt feelings, and more, I hold forth to you the way of charity, and it's how God would have us to live. Charity does not overlook sin, but it is the way of God, and even times When God corrects us, God chastises us. It is proof of his love, God's love to us. I want to read chapter 13. First of all, in verses 1 to 3, notice that Paul uses the word I. He's writing in first person here, and even though he's writing to a group of people that had problems, he looked at his own heart, and that's what I want us to do this morning. There's something powerful when we take the scripture personally for ourselves. And so I think for the first three verses, I want to read them all together and think about yourself. Think about myself. Verses 1 to 3, let's read it all together. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Do you believe that this morning? I can do many good things. I can do many noble deeds. But if it's not motivated by a heart of love, it is nothing. I'll finish reading these verses. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Beautiful passage, lots of challenges that are good for us to think about. Now, charity here in this passage is interpreted love. It's a Greek word, agape love. And as I understand it, there were three words in the Greek used for love. The first was eros. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing these right, but eros is a romantic or essential love. It's not found in the New Testament, but it's found in some Greek literature. And it's often a selfish sort of love, a concern for a person who can do something for me. What do I get out of it? And I think love is completely misused in our culture today. Then we have filio love. That love means a friend or a friendship. Maybe in a family setting, you love your family. It's a kind of love that makes you want to stick up for your friend, stick up for your family. But then we have agape love, and it's the highest form of love. Here it's interpreted charity, and it's the love that God has for man. And this word agape was borrowed because there wasn't a word in the Greek that described this kind of love. Kind of love that almost transcends human experience, but yet God calls us to adopt it. He calls us to adopt it as our own love. The love that God has for man. And then when we understand that love that God had for us, then it makes us want to love him and love others. Why is it that love is often misunderstood today? Sometimes we fail to grasp the magnitude of what agape love is, the love that God has for us. The songwriter says, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell." How would you describe the love of God? How many pages would it take? How much ink? That song goes on to say, "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies a parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." I think that should get our attention. Make us stop and think, the love of God is huge, it's amazing, and it's for me. It's another song that I just got this morning. Thought it fit with what I have to share. "You ask me why I love my Jesus, and why I love to sing his praise, and why I testify to others about our God's redeeming grace. He loved me ere I ever knew him. He made me his by a new birth. You ask me why I love my Jesus. Well, it's because he loved me first. You wonder why I love my brother, and why I love to go to church, and why I linger when it's over. Well, it's because he loved me first. He loved me when I stole and cheated. He loved me when I lived in sin, spoke evil of God's own dear children. I love him because he loved me first. You ask me why I love the Bible, and why I read it every day, and why I want to be to others a help upon life's weary way. God loved me when I was unworthy, and when my back on him was turned. He gave his life for me on Calvary. I love him because he loved me first." God's love for us is amazing. A quote that I came across: "God's love is different than any you have ever experienced. It's a love for the utterly unworthy, a love that proceeds from God who is love. It is a love lavished on others without a thought of whether they are worthy or not. It proceeds from the nature of the lover rather than from the merit of the beloved." So think about that. Think about God's love, the love that he showed to you, every one of us. Every one of you are a recipient of God's love. And it's not because we are so lovely. It's not because we are beloved. But it's because of the very nature of God. A love that is immense. So different than human love. Most times in human relationships, we tend to love what we find lovely in someone else. And when that person isn't so lovely anymore, then it's hard to keep loving. But this is not the love we're talking about. We're talking about agape love, something that originates from the very heart of God our Father. Turn to John 13. John 13 and verse 34. "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Jesus is calling us to that kind of love, the same kind of love that he had for me, to show it to others. Another quote that I like: "Agape love is a servant of our will, not a victim of our emotions." Agape love is a servant of our will, not a victim of our emotions. So often you hear of people falling in love or this warm, cozy feeling of love. That's not what this is. It's not what we're talking about. Agape love is a choice, something that originates in the heart because of a choice to follow God, something that happens inside of us, God working in us. It's a matter of the will. I choose to love. Do you think Jesus wanted to go through the cross experience? Do you think it was easy? No, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He agonized in the garden in prayer. He cried out to God to let this cup pass from him, but then he chose to surrender his will to the Father. It's an act of sacrificial agape love. It's a choice. I have three main points that I'd like to look at: the excellence of love, the expressions of love, and the endurance of love. First of all, the excellence of love. And I'm just going to go down through these verses. First one: without love, I am a noisy nuisance, nothing else. And you find that in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. The Corinthians here were enamored with spiritual gifts, particularly the gifts of tongues. Paul reminds them that even the gift of tongues is meaningless without love. Without love, a person may speak with the gift of tongues, but it's as meaningless as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. It's nothing, nothing but empty noise. And I don't think we have the problems of speaking in tongues today. How can we apply this today? I thought about, what about our prayers that we pray? What about the spiritual thoughts that we give in Sunday school? What about the devotional or topic or message that we share? If I don't have the heart of love for my brother, if I don't show that love to him like God showed to me, those things are just noise, like a clanging bell. But agape love brings harmony, brings melody into our experience, something pleasant, something nice to listen to. The next one: without love, I am zero. Find that in verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. I am zero. Even if I can preach, even if I could speak well, even if I understood all the scriptures just perfectly, even if I could explain them just right so that all could understand, if I didn't love, I'm zero. Talks about knowledge here. Maybe I have knowledge. Maybe you know how to do something that not many can. Maybe you know a lot about the work that you do. You have the skills. You have the know-how to do a great job. That's good and right. But do you love? Do I love? Talks about faith here. If I had great faith, so great that I could speak to a mountain and it would move, I would still be worth zero without love. And the next one: without love, I can't make it. In verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. I won't make it. Here it's talking about great sacrifices that we can make, doing good things, helping the needy. Even though I could go to the stake, give my body to be burned, even though I could liquidate all my assets, give everything away, bank accounts, house, vehicles, everything, if I didn't do it with a heart of charity, it is of no profit. If I don't have love for others, for my brother, there's no point, there's no profit in doing those things. Now the next section is the expressions of love. We find that in the next couple of verses. Expressions, what comes out? What comes out of us? First one, verse 4. First part, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity suffers long and is kind. What does it mean to suffer long? Well, I think it means to be patient, to endure the things that come. Endure the things that are difficult. If we are motivated by a heart of agape love, we can endure, we can have patience, we can have long suffering with others. But then it also says to be kind, and that's something that we can do actively. We can not just enduring, but be active in a good way. We endure evil, but we also bestow blessings. The things that come from our life, is it a blessing to others? Are we blessing other people, helping other people? It's a positive thing. It's being kind. In the next part of that verse, charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Charity neither envies nor promotes self. It's human nature to, within us, to tend to favor ourselves, tend to think, well, I'm right, I'm going to start there. And we interpret everything from that. At least I know what I'm talking about. No, agape love does not promote self. We shouldn't have that high opinion of ourselves. When we do that, we fail to seek the welfare of others. Read a verse in Romans 12. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. That's what happens when charity is the chief motivating factor in life. I can prefer others above myself. When we are free from envy, then we are free to love. I don't think it's possible to show agape love to someone that we envy. Envy always leads to a negative perspective on them. The next verse, verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Charity restrains one's behavior and refuses to become offended. Doesn't keep an account of evil things that were done, that were said or done. It's so easy just to store them things away and feed on them in our mind, in our heart. But it's not what we're supposed to do here. Don't just assume or suppose that they must be in the wrong. Attitudes, if it forms a seedbed. You think about a seedbed. Out of a seedbed will grow plants, will grow fruit. What am I sowing? What are the attitudes that I'm sowing? What's going to sprout up? What's going to be the action? You plant seeds of respect, trust, confidence. That's the fruit you'll reap. You plant seeds of suspicion, malice, bitterness, envy. That's the fruit you'll reap. Believe what's best. Believe what's true. And think on those things. Think of the good. Think of the positive of others. Sometimes there may be things that we can't just lay to rest. We need to talk. There needs to be a transparency. We need to take our concerns to our brother. But first, check your seedbed. Check your attitude. Pull the weeds, and then go humbly and talk to your brother. Verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Charity delights in what God loves. The truth is what God loves. The truth is what God has given to us. And the truth is what we must build our lives upon. Love stands by the side of truth. Love has fellowship with truth. And that is what agape love finds pleasure in, truth. Not spreading failures of others. You think about a husband and wife relationship. How would it be if you went around telling the faults of your wife, the weaknesses of your wife, where she messes up, where she doesn't get it quite right? No, that would never work, and it doesn't work in church life either. In verse 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity remains steadfast under test. Think about a pop bottle. Shake a pop bottle up. What happens when you crack the lid? It spews out. This word beareth all things means to contain, means to hold up. Like a container that holds something in, doesn't spew out when it's under pressure. Charity is contained, doesn't easily steam off when there's a little bit of pressure. Believes all things. Easily entreated. Easy to admit that I'm wrong. Easy to believe that he's right. It's so hard to do with our human nature. We think we are right. And then hopeth all things, looking for the best in other people, being an optimist. And then endureth all things, willing to endure hardship with a patient spirit. And then the last section here, endurance, the endurance of love. Verse 8, charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Charity never faileth, but spiritual gifts, they will fail. They will pass away. Preaching and teaching is good, but we won't need that in heaven. We won't need faith. We won't need hope in heaven. It will be real then. The things that are most important are the things that will last forever. Like charity, agape love. And then charity is the greatest. Verses 9 to 13. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, and that which is in part shall be done away. Our understanding, our knowledge is limited. We can't see things from God's perspective. But we're looking forward to the time when we can, when that which is perfect is come, then we will see, we will understand clearly. Our perspective, our reasoning, our thoughts, it's kind of like that of a child. We don't fully understand the thoughts of our Father. Our vision now is obscured like a steamed up glass, a fogged window, or tinted glass. But one day we will see face to face. We will know him in completeness. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Faith, hope, and charity should be a part of our experience. We should have eyes of faith that can see. Yes, someday we will be delivered from this body. And there's hope. Hope anchors the soul. These things are important, but he says that even greater than that is to understand the love that God showed to us. And to be able to take that Same kind of love, unconditional love, authentic love, love that is true, love that is kind, love that endures. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. Take it and give it to others. Even if someone has a different perspective than us, even if someone has a different opinion, even if they make a choice that's slightly different than mine, I choose love. Not a victim of our emotions. Don't wait until you get a warm, fuzzy feeling to show love. Make the choice to show agape love, charity, God's love to your brothers and sisters here in this congregation, in your home, and to the world you meet. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for